Well, we're very grateful today for most of all the presence of the Lord. The Lord promised to be where two or three are gathered together. He said he'd be in the midst of us, and we thank the Lord for that. We want to talk today about courage. Last Sunday, we talked a little bit about fear and how fear can be debilitating. It can affect us in various ways, but fear is not all bad. When we take it into consideration, it's one of the things that protects us. We tend to be more alert when we are fearful. We're not just casual about whatever it is that we're dealing with. When there's a fear, the Lord gave us that emotion for a reason. But then there's courage. And I'd like to read a few definitions or quotes about courage. And I think that there are various kinds of courage, not just one kind of courage, if we can put it in that kind of a light. It's various kinds of courage. And I want to read a definition, first of all, of courage. It says mental or moral strength. To venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. The ability to do something that frightens one. And I'll like to share a story that happened to us as my children when they were very young. Maybe about 2 and 3 years old. Maybe a little old. Maybe just almost 3 and 4. But we took them to the beach for the first time. And I'll go ahead and tell you their name, who did what, simply because it's easier to tell the story that way. Serena, being a little older than Cameron, she was just a fearless, you might say, a fearless and reckless person when it came to that, running into the beach. So what she did is we put her down, and she saw the waves, and they were coming at her, and she took out running straight to them. And just, it was a fun thing for her, right? And so what we had to do is grab her because there's danger out there. This could be dangerous. This could sweep you away. It's not just something simple. But Cameron was a little bit different. What he did, he wouldn't go near the waves. He's a little younger, though, but he wouldn't go near the waves. And so what I did is I picked him up, and I put him on my shoulders, and I was going to carry him into the water. So I'm going to walk and wade into the water. And the closer I got to the waves, the tighter his little legs got around my neck, and the tighter his little arms got around my head. And he was afraid, but he didn't say anything. But I knew it. Nobody looking at him probably would have understood that he was afraid or he was scared of what was taking place. And he had every right to be. A 2-year-old would be afraid of something like that. That's nothing to be ashamed of. But the point is, he realized that Dad's here. Dad is carrying me, and he's not going to let anything happen to me, even though I'm a little bit afraid of this thing that I've never seen before. I've never seen this much water before, and this is frightening to me. And so as I walked into the water and maybe went knee high, his little legs just tightened around me, I knew he was afraid. And what I'd like to say about that is, even though we have an understanding that the Lord is carrying us, we are afraid sometimes. There are things that that affect us in various ways, and even though we know that the Lord is there and the Lord's going to take care of us, that we know that, we still are afraid. And it takes courage for us to trust the Lord. It takes courage for us to venture into something a little bit deeper, into the unknown, something we've never seen before, something we've never done before. It takes courage. Now, one of the things that I've, one of the definitions that I, or the quotes that I have is a proverb that says, fear and courage are brothers. So they're related. They're interrelated in some kind of way, aren't they? So when you talk about fear, and when you talk about courage, there really is no courage without there being some level of fear. So if you're not afraid at all, this child was not afraid. She ran straight into the, was going to run straight into the ocean, not realizing the dangers that are there, right? That wasn't courage. That was just a lack of understanding. All right, but what courage is, I understand the danger that's before me, and I'm going to step out because I know my Father is going to take care of me. I know my Father is holding my hand. I know my Father has carried me in his arms, and he's not going to let anything bad happen to me. It's going to have to go through him before it gets to me. All right? And we're not talking about an earthly Father. We're talking about the Father that created everything on this earth. And the Father that can do anything. The Father has the ability to heal. A Father that has the ability to do anything that we need done. God has the ability to do it. But yet we're afraid. And what does it take for us to step out in faith? It takes courage to have faith. Yeah. Because there's going to be times in our experience that we're going to have to do things and we're going to have to go places. We're going to have to experience things that we've never experienced before. And it's going to take courage for us to be able to do that. May the Lord help us. I want to read a few others. This is that I've learned. This is Nelson Mandela. I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. So that's a good point, isn't it? I can't say that there have been things, you know, we start out with things that we're trusting the Lord for, various things, and there's this fear of failure, there's this fear, there are these risks that are involved, and we've got to be careful. Lord, what do we do? What do we do in this situation? We don't be reckless in running into it, but we're concerned about looking at it circumspectly. And then making our decisions based on that. Another one is, there is no living thing that is not afraid when it faces danger. The true courage is in facing danger when you're afraid. So you're going to be afraid. You know, we talk about the coronavirus, right? Talk about what's happening in our world today. There are things that are fearful, aren't they?
Yes.
To stand up, to go forth and do what the Lord told them to do. Now we transition and we go 40 years later, and now they're getting ready to go into the land of Canaan, which is something that they should have done 40 years ago. And so they cannot afford to be afraid this time. There's going to be things that you're going to see. There are going to be giants there. We've heard the stories for the last 40 years. We've heard the stories of why we didn't go over there, and we were here in this place, of temporary place, wandering around in the wilderness with no permanent home, nothing to eat but manna. When over across the river, we realize and we understand that that's everything that we need, right? Everything that we want, everything that we desire, permanent homes, permanent villages, all those kinds of things. We can have that, but we've got to go and get it.
Amen.
All right, so now what Joshua is telling them, you can't be afraid this time. We don't have another 40 years to be able to sit here and wander in the wilderness. We don't know what the Lord's going to do. We don't know if God is going to be merciful to us another 40 years. So here's what I'm telling you. I want to reiterate. I want to get that voice in your head that keeps going over and over and talking about the fears and talking about all the things that we can't do. I want to put another worm in your mind, another voice in your head that says, you can do it by the help and the grace of God. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. When I come against hard and difficult things, what do? I have to say, Lord, you have to do something for me.
Yeah.
You can do this. Nothing is impossible with you. With God, all things are possible.
Lord.
We've got to say that. We've got to put that kind of thought process in our mind to have the courage to go forth. Am I afraid? Am I shaking? Yes, but I know God is holding my hand. I'm going to go. He said he'd go wherever I would go. And Lord, I'm going to trust you for that. I'm going to believe that you're going to do it. So I'm going to have courage to step out on faith and do what you told me to do and be what you want me to be. And you know what? I believe right now, saints, this is what I want us to get a hold of. I believe that we're leaving so much on the table because we are afraid to go and get it. We're afraid to walk over into the Jordan River. Do you realize that it took courage for them to do that? Have you ever seen a flood? You probably have them around here, right? Have you ever seen a flood? We got them in Texas all the time. You know what a flood? What if flood waters will do? They'll take out a bridge, won't they? If a car goes over, they'll pick that car up and they'll take that car wherever. It's a very dangerous thing to walk into swift running waters. All right. If you're a good swimmer, it doesn't matter. It's a very dangerous thing, right? But do you know what the Lord told the children of Israel to do before they ever got into the land of Canaan? You know what He told the priests to do with the Ark of the Covenant? He said, I want you to step in Jordan while it's overflowing. Yeah. I want you to put your foot down on it. I want to make certain that you understand that this is a flowing river, and there's a possibility that you'll be swept away. But do you trust me?
Amen, Lord.
Are you going to depend on me? Do you believe that I'm going to take care of you through this? And so they stepped in the midst. That took courage for them to do. What if we get swept away? No, we're going to trust the Lord. I'm going to stand on the Lord's word. You know what the Lord wants us to do? He wants us to be trusting saints. He wants us to have courage, to have faith in God. It takes courage to have faith in God.
Yes.
Well, Lord, I want to get all my ducks in a row, and I want to make certain that everything is just like it's supposed to be before I step out on faith. No, that's not faith. Faith is not what you can see. Faith is something that's beyond what you can see. So what God is saying, saints, church, whoever, those that are trusting me, trust me. If you're going to trust me, trust me. If you're not going to do whatever you're going to do, but trust me, this is what I've given you my word. I've never failed on my word. I've never failed to do what I told you I was going to do. Trust me. Have the courage to trust me. Have the courage. Is there fear? Yes, there's fear. You know, in the things that I've done over the years, trusting the Lord for whatever it is that I've trusted the Lord for. Do you suppose that if you're trusting the Lord for the healing of your body, or you get sick, or whatever it is, and you're praying and you're asking the Lord to have mercy on you and help you, whether you go to a hospital or not, do you know the Lord's going to be the one that heals you?
Right.
Do you realize the Lord's going to be the one that protects us from this coronavirus, whether they have a vaccine or not? Do you realize that? Do you believe that? Are we a little bit afraid? Is there a little bit of fear in all of our hearts and minds about this thing that I don't know? I go to the gas pump yesterday to fill up the gas. You know what I do? I put on some gloves. Those little clear gloves that I can just peel out and throw away. Why? Because there is a fear. I'm not scared, terrified by any means, but there is a fear that I do not know who put their hands on that gas pump. I don't know who did what, and so therefore, I'm going to take the necessary precautions to protect myself. Right? There's nothing wrong with that, right? But I'm not afraid to go to the gas station because I'm afraid I'm going to catch coronavirus. And you know, after that, you go someplace. Have you ever watched somebody? I said this last time. Have you ever watched somebody prepare your food while you're going to get some food, and you go to the place, they got their nice mask on, they got their nice gloves on, and you know what they tend to do with those masks and gloves while they're doing? Have you ever seen them? They do this. And then they put their hands on your food. Oh, y'all, I didn't watch that. See, there you go, Brother Darrell. You're making us all afraid. Now I can't go out to Wendy's or Olive Garden. I can't do anything now because I'm afraid. No, don't be afraid. Have the courage to say, Lord, you said that you would protect me, and I'm praying over the food that you're giving me. What did one somebody said to me the other day? You know, you go to the grocery store, and what do? And you're going to make certain that you pick the right apples and the right oranges and the right all of this kind of stuff, and you pick it, you don't know who picked it before you did. Now, am I here to scare us? No, I'm not here to scare us. I'm here to show us that the only way for us to be protected is to be protected by God. And we have the courage to trust God that, Lord, you're going to take me through this thing. You're going to see me through. You're not ready to take me right now. And, Lord, I'm going to have the courage to trust you. Yes. And the Lord wants us to have the courage to trust us. Trust him, doesn't he?
Yes.
Why? You know what? Sometimes I see these kinds of things are tests for some greater test that's going to come on down the road. Then the Lord lets these little bitty things, will you trust me here? Yes, Lord, I'll trust you here. Sometimes the Lord tells us that. You know what? My coming to California was a sheer act of faith. And I know somebody going to say, oh, Brother Darrell, stop saying that. But I want you to know how much of an act of faith. It was a step out. It was a step of faith that I came here because God told me to, not because it was better for me to do it.
Yeah.
Not because my life is easier here in California, because it is not. And I've talked to people, and they've said, you know what, I don't know if I would have been able to do it. You'd have been able to do it if you trusted the Lord. If you had the courage to trust the Lord, you'd have been able to do it. But now, what we do, we, in our own mind, we make up in the story, as we said last Sunday. We make the story up in our mind, what's better for us, and we do what's best, what we think is best for us. But what I've learned over the last 57 years, what I've learned is it's not what's best, because I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know how tomorrow's going to turn out. I don't know about the decisions that I make. The decisions that I make for the Lord may not seem like they're the right decisions today, but oh, I found out that they're the best thing that I could have ever done. And I had the courage to step out and do what God told me to do, and I did it. And when I did it, the Lord blessed me. And when you do it, the Lord's going to bless you as well.
Yeah.
Do you have the courage to trust the Lord?
Thank the Lord.
Do you have the courage to step out on faith in whatever kind of capacity it is that the Lord told you, the Lord tells you to do it, you're standing on his word, literally. If the Lord tells you to move to a certain location, then you're standing on his word. He's the one that told you to do it.
Amen.
And he obligates himself to take care of you.
Yeah.
So how are you going to make a living? I don't know how I'm going to make a living, but God knows.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how are you going to do this? How are you going to get through this part? I don't know how I'm going to get through that part. But, well, that was just reckless and silly. I wouldn't have done that. Oh, yes, you would if you trust God and you've seen what God does and how God takes care of you, even in the midst of all kinds of opposition, all kinds of fear. Is there some trepidation when you step out? Yes, there's trepidation. There's trepidation. You're trusting the Lord. Well, I'm not going to trust the Lord because I don't want to be poor. You know what? That was one of the things I said about I'm not going to be a preacher because I don't want to be poor. All the preachers that I knew. Now, you get these big mega churches and whatnot. Those preachers are not poor. You know what? They're rich. But you know what? Are they really preaching the gospel? I'm not going to make a judgment about that. Are they really preaching the gospel? Are they preaching something? Do they have the courage to tell you how to live right? Do they have the courage to tell you, you got to stop sinning more or less every day? Do they have the courage to tell you to live righteously? Well, I might lose all of my parishioners if I start preaching too hard. You know what? That is a temptation of us as ministers. We're tempted that way. Well, you can't preach too hard. Well, I found out what the Lord really wants us to do. The Lord really wants us to empathize with the congregation. If you were sitting there, would you want some man hollering at you and telling you you're not living right? No, you want that man to come in and sit down and speak to you and minister to you and tell you, I've been through what you're going through.
Yes.
And God took me through, and if God took me through, he's going to take you through as well. Be courageous, saints. Have the courage to trust the Lord. Have the courage to stand in faith on the things that you believe in, no matter what everybody is saying. You know what happened? There has to be spiritual courage as well. There has to be spiritual courage. You know what Stephen did? Stephen preached the word of God to people. And you know what? I am not one. And anybody that knows me, that's watched my ministry over the last 30-something years, anybody that knows me knows I'm not this hard-nosed and fire and brimstone kind of preacher. But there are times, and I've been in those kinds of places, there are times that you have to speak to the congregation hard things, hard to be understood. What did the Lord say in one place? He said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. And then what happened? The people said, well, you know what? This is a hard saying. What are you talking about? Eating my flesh and drinking my blood. You know what he was talking about? He said, partaking in the sufferings that I've gone through. Then if I've been beat and spat upon, you know what's going to happen as a Christian?
Yeah.
You may be called to be beat and spat upon. And you know what? None of us want somebody to clear their throat and spit in our face. That would be degrading, right?
Yeah.
You'd have to be a sanctified person not to respond to that. I'm talking about truly sanctified. But that's part of the cross. No man can come after me except he take up his cross daily and follow after me. Those are hard things to do.
Yes.
There are some crosses here that all of us have crosses. It takes courage to allow somebody to put you on the cross. Let me tell you something about a cross. Do you know the cross of Christ? Christ didn't have to get up on that cross. He could have stopped it right there. Do you know there are times that you and I do not have to get up on our cross? I ain't going to let them do that to me. I am not going to let them do that to me. Have we ever said that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, you're not going to do that to me. And I don't believe God requires them. Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. But is that your cross for that day? Is that your responsibility? Do you have the courage to just let them put the nails there and drive them in? Do you have the courage to do that? Or are you going to respond in some kind of way? And most of us respond. But then we have to have preachers that come in and say, you know what, there are times that you need to stay up on that cross. There are times that you need, there's something that the Lord is getting out of there. There's this drip of self. There's this self-life that's dripping out with the blood drops. You're dying. You're dying to who? You're dying to yourself. Those are hard sayings, aren't they? Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted this to be an encouraging message. I don't know. The Lord gave this to me like this today. I want it to be an encouraging message, but I want you to understand you have the courage. I want you to have the courage to do what God wants you to do with your life. I don't know what that is. I don't know what God requires of you. God has not said, Brother Darrell, I want you to tell Brother Randall, I want you to tell Brother Ian, Brother Hallery, I want you to tell Sister Carolyn, I want you to tell all the folks that are listening to you, I want you to tell them what I want them to do. I don't know what they want. The Lord hasn't told me that. I don't know what the Lord wants you to do. I do know what the Lord wants me to do. And sometimes I'm not so clear in that. Sometimes I'm praying. I'm praying about what God. You know, right now we're praying about the house. Where do you want us to live? We don't know. But you seek the Lord.
Yeah.
for the courage to do what God tells you to do. That's a personal thing. It's not three people. It's between you and God. You don't know. If I had never moved to California, no one would have had to know it, right? No one would have had to know it. It was just been something that the Lord told me back there in Texas. And he said, do and start preparing for it. And I just decided, you know, I can see that this is better for me to do what I'm doing right here. I'm in a much better position. But know what the Lord wants you to do is have the courage to get up and move when he says move. Lord help us. What did Abraham do? He got up and went and didn't know where he was going, did he? But he had the courage to go. Lord, I'm each step, each point that I'm going to, I want you to understand that I've got the courage to go. Yes. Stephen preaches a message that people didn't like. And what did it say? It said that they gnashed on him with their teeth.
Yes.
That's in, we won't necessarily read it, but Paul, let's maybe we should. Acts the 7th chapter, 54th verse. Acts 7, verse 54, Stephen.
When they heard these things, They were cut to the heart.
There are going to be some times that the Lord speaks to us as ministers of the gospel. And there are some times that all of us, and when I want to say all of us are ministers of the gospel, there are times that the Lord speaks to us and tells us hard things to say to people, not in a public audience necessarily, but in a private setting where you say it with love, you say it with understanding, you say, I know what I'm saying. This is what I've learned in my own experience. I know what I'm saying is difficult. I know it's hard. I know it's not something that you are easily able to accept. I understand that. But I have to say it. Lord, help us. Right? When he said these things?
When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth.
Gnashed on him with the teeth.
But he,
yes,
being full of the Holy Ghost,
being full of the Holy Ghost,
looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing
on the right hand of God. Now, you know what? It would have been worth it, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. To see the heavens open up and the Jesus standing there taking note of what's going on with us down here. The Lord is standing by your side. He said he will never leave us nor forsake us. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, amen, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. The Lord sees everything that's happening. He sees what the world is doing to you. He sees what your family is doing to you. He sees what the other people are doing to you. And God is concerned about you. He loves you. He wants you to know that. He wants you to know that you're the dearest thing to him. That's why he died. When he stretched out his hands like this, he stretched out his hand for you, for me. The Lord loves us, doesn't he?
Amen.
All right, read, please.
And said,
Behold,
I see the heavens open.
There's an eyewitness account that there's a heaven here. This is not a fictional account. It's an eyewitness account. I see the heavens open,
and I see
the Son of Man
standing
on the right hand of God. Oh, may the Lord help us. Now, it took some courage for him to say that. But this man was in betwixt. He was just about to make the transition. But he was preaching all the way up to the point that he lost consciousness. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
He had the courage to do it. He didn't recant. He didn't say, well, okay, I won't be so hard. I won't be so hard. He preached the word of God.
Yes.
He told them, all right, read.
And They stoned Stephen.
Calling upon God.
And saying, Lord Jesus.
Receive my spirit.
And he kneeled down. And cried with a loud voice.
Lord.
Lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep.
When he said this, he went unconscious. He died. He went unconscious, then died. Saints, that took courage, didn't it?
Yes, amen.
That took courage. So, let's just say all the protests that we're having right now. You know, it would be good to for us to do it if the Lord give me his directive, I'll do it. Go to one, put a big sign up that says, y'all need Jesus. Jesus is the answer.
Yes.
The Lord is the answer to all the problems that we're... The Lord's the answer to coronavirus.
Yes.
The Lord's the answer to all the problems in our nation, in our world. God is the answer to that. And you know what? We have to be bold enough, Lord help us, and courageous enough, number one, to pray for the people. Do you know we have to pray for all what's happening in the world today? That's our job. If we don't do it, do you know who's going to do it? If the Christians don't do it, if the saints don't do it, who's going to do it? May the Lord help us to realize we've got to do this.
Amen.
Do you have enough courage to do it?
We need to take the gospel to them.
Yes.
Like the Word of God says, distribute the seed of the gospel. And we can do that every day.
Yes.
They can't be saved without the Word of God.
And we can also pray for them.
That's how we got saved.
Yes. We can pray for them, and we can pray for ourselves, that the Lord gives us the courage to do what we need to do our part. And I say that because it's going to take the courage of the Lord to do that for us. And if we look at Paul's situation, and we look at Paul's sufferings and what he suffered for the gospel, we'll turn to 2 Corinthians 11, chapter 22nd verse. We'll start there, maybe at the 23rd verse.
Are they ministers of Christ?
I speak as a fool.
I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent.
In deaths oft.
Of the Jews five times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils of mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness.
And painfulness.
In watchings often. In hunger and thirst.
In fastings often.
In cold.
And nakedness.
Besides those things that are without. That which cometh upon me daily.
The care of all the churches. All right, stop there for a moment. So I want to say, Paul was a very courageous man. He had to deal with a lot of perils. He had to deal with a lot of issues. And saints, are we willing to deal with those kinds of perils, those kinds of issues? Or are we just going to be a nominal Christian? Now, that's a question that you answer yourself. Are you going to just be a nominal Christian? Because nowadays what we have is Christianity has become kind of a hybrid kind of a thing. It's a thing that we encourage people and I believe that part is there. And I trust that you let me preach again next Sunday. Because I know that some of the things that I'm saying are difficult and because they're difficult for me. But do you know what? The scripture says very plainly, the husbandman that labored must be first partaker of the fruit. And so do you know what? These are things that I've examined in my own life. And I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. You're just overhearing. You're just overhearing what I'm preaching to myself. Can we be stronger, better Christians? Can we be better saints?
Amen.
Have we gotten weaker? Now, these are not questions I'm asking you. They're rhetorical questions that I'm asking myself.
Yes.
These are questions that I'm saying, you know what, can I be a little bit more courageous in the things of God? Is God requiring more of me? Could we take a greater every place that the sole of my foot tread upon? Can I take that? Or have I been afraid to go out and do what God has told me to do? Lord, have mercy on me.
Yes.
All right, so I don't want you to say, Brother Darrell's preaching at you, because I'm going to tell you who I'm preaching at. I'm preaching at me. I'm preaching at the man that I can have some level of control over, that I can say, all right, you're afraid when no one knows that you're afraid. You're going forward and you're going to do this when no one knows that you're afraid of doing it, but you're going to have the courage by the grace of God to stand on the word of God and do what God has told you to do, and you go forward in the name of Jesus, that you have this moral fortitude, that you have this moral courage to speak up when you need to speak up, that you have the spiritual courage to preach when you need to preach, that you have the physical courage to go out and put yourself in harm's way when the Lord tells you to, not because you're wanting to make some point. That's beside the point. That's altogether something different. That's not what I'm talking about. If you think that's what I'm talking about, you got the whole thing wrong. What I am saying, I am talking to saints of God. I am talking to people that love the Lord. I am talking to people that want to live for the Lord and want to make a difference in this world.
Yes.
So how do we do that? How do we make a difference in the world? First of all, it starts with me. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to change the world, you know who I've got to change? I've got to change me. I've got to have the courage to change me. I've got to have the courage to stop being scared of speaking, of talking to people, of talking, telling people about Jesus. If we want a bigger congregation here, you know we're going to have to take the gospel to them, as the brother said. We're going to have to take the gospel to them. We cannot expect them to come to us only. Yeah, that needs to happen as well. But we need to take the gospel to them. And are we afraid to do that? Are we afraid to take the risk? What if I fail? What if they spit in my face? They spit in the Lord's face. What if they don't like me? What if they say, get away from me with all of this, Jesus stuff? I don't want to hear that. What if they cuss me out? What if they stone me? Well, you know what? We have it relatively fine here in America, don't we?
Yes, we do.
We have it great. No, people. Chances are people are not going to do that. And what does it hurt if somebody rejects us? It's okay. They rejected Christ. But I've got to have the courage to do it. Now, you know what? I heard of a man one time that said that he decided that he was going to just... It was on YouTube or something. He said he was just going to get comfortable with being rejected, because he was afraid of rejection. So he just went and started asking people for things that he knew they weren't going to give him. You walk up and ask somebody, would you give me $100? If somebody walks up and asks you if you give them $1,000 out of your bank account or something, what are you going to say? I don't know you. Why are you asking me for something like that? And we won't do it, will we? But you know, he got so comfortable with it and he learned some things. It has been a while since I heard that or read it or listened to it or whatever I did on that. But I forget exactly what it was, but he got comfortable. The essence of it is he got comfortable with rejection. He had the courage to say to let people tell him no. Mm-hmm. And you know what takes courage? We tend not, if we think that we're going to get it by going up and asking somebody, we tend to be more willing to do that. If we think that a person is going to say no with whatever it is that we're asking, and we put that in our mind, that's the little loop that's going around in our mind, they're going to say, no, they're not going to. You're going to get rejected in this situation. We tend not to do it. We tend not to have the courage. We tend not to have the courage to do it. All right? I'm going to read a few scriptures in closing. God's timing is not our timing. All right? He says here in Psalms 31, verse 23, oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that wait on the Lord.
Amen.
He said, I had fainted unless, this is Psalms 27:13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. God strengthens us in the midst of the battle. There's often times that I've learned in my own little experiences, I've learned in my spiritual courage and otherwise, that the Lord doesn't give us what we need before we need it.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? What I mean by that is the Lord gives us what we need as we go forward in doing what he tells us to do. So if we're wanting, for instance, I know the Sacramento Saints here have had this experience. One of the things that the Lord taught me when we do things for him, we don't do it foolishly, but when we've done things for that require money and it regards the church, and we may not start it, and most people's thought process, and I've dealt with this, and I know you have. Most people's thought process is like, well, let's collect all the money, and then once we have all the money, then we start doing what we're going to do. All right? But it takes courage. And I don't want you to understand that I'm not tooting my horn or anything like that, but the Lord taught me something in this. He said, you just walk. You go forward, and then I'll open the door. I'll pour you out a blessing that you won't be able to contain. I'll do that for you. But you can't do it on your own. You can't decide in your mind, well, this is what I want to do, and the Lord hasn't told you anything. Mm-hmm. When the Lord tells you what to do, you begin to work. It takes courage. Okay, step out on it. And what I remember saying to you, I said, you know what? We never had the money to do anything that we've ever done before we started doing it. We started doing it, and as we did it, the Lord opened the way, and the Lord gave what we need. I learned it.
Yes, learned.
I learned it. And so therefore, now what do I do? For other people, what you have to do, you have to learn it as well. You have to learn those areas in your life that the Lord will take care of this if you just step out on faith. If you just have the courage to step out. I'll do it for you.
Yes.
So whatsoever you shall ask in prayer believing, you shall receive. He said, just ask the Lord to do a particular thing and the Lord will do it. Do you have the courage to trust him? That's the question that we have. It takes courage to trust the Lord. It takes courage to do what God desires and requires you to do. It takes courage for the children of Israel, the Lord, to say, only be thou very courageous. Don't be dismayed. Don't be disappointed. Don't be afraid. Have not I commanded you, don't be afraid. You've got to go over there across the Jordan River. There's a land of promise that I've already given you. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I've already given it to you. It's not that I'm going to give it to you. I've already given it to you. But you've got to go get it. You've got to go get it. You've got to have enough courage to face the giants in your life. You've got to have enough courage to say, Lord, by your help, you told me to come and get this, and I'm going and getting it. It's mine. And I'm not going to let them hold on to what's mine. May the Lord help us to understand that, to believe it, to realize it in our own life, that the Lord has something special for us, and the Lord wants us to go get it. Stop being afraid. Have the courage to step out and do what God wants us to do. I believe the Lord has great things for this place right here. I believe that with all of my heart, or I wouldn't be here. What is the Lord going to do? I don't know, but you know what it's going to take for the Sacramento Saints? It's going to take you having the courage to follow. Sometimes we don't want to do that. Well, where is this young whippersnapper taking us? We don't know. I don't know. I'm taking you where the Lord tells me to take you. And you know what? You're going to have the courage to trust me. No, not trust me. I don't want you to trust me. You're going to have the courage to get it from the Lord for yourself and trust the Lord in what the Lord is doing. And then you can make sure that I'm following the Lord too. You have every right to go to the Lord and tell the Lord what you want. Well, is this brother really doing what he's supposed to be doing, Lord? Or is he taking us down or leading us over the cliff? You have a right to know that. You have a right to go to the Lord. And then when the Lord says he's taking you up the cliff and he's taking you up around, and it's going to be a higher place that the Lord wants us to get. And then what's your job? Your job is to be courageous enough to follow what God is doing. Follow the voice of the Lord, not my voice. You know, there's a place that the scripture talks about. You follow, you see, follow me even as I follow Christ. Now, you see, obviously this wasn't part of the message, but follow me as I follow Christ. You need to make certain that I'm following Christ, and then you can see Christ up ahead and you can see me following Christ. That's your job. My job is to find the Lord, and my job is to say, I'm not going to take you too fast. We'll go as slow as you need to go. We'll slow down. You need to rest here. We'll rest, but we're not sitting down and staying here for very long. Lord, help us. You know, I have a sense of urgency about what we're doing here. What the Lord wants us to do here. I'm not as young as I used to be. I don't have 30 years to do what I did in Dallas. I don't have 30 years. I want to do it in 3. Oh, that's taking us too fast. What, do you have the courage to go? Yeah, but it's taking us too fast. I'm taking it too fast as far as I'm concerned too. But what does the Lord have for us? Be of good courage. I don't have 40 years to wander in the wilderness anymore. So be of good courage. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and be of a good courage. Be not afraid. That's a command. That is not an option. That's true. Lord, help us. What are you afraid of? What are you willing to be courageous about?